2 Timothy chapter 3. We've been on it for a while, but I think it's good because the Lord's coming back. And we kind of see the conditions, what's happening here in the last days. And we're going to try to go through some of these and finish up today. I get this magazine, people. Now, first of all, for you, you think I'm getting this magazine. It comes in my house, okay? Christy Ernest, I have no idea who she is. Never heard of her, but apparently my address on here. So I get it, but it's timely because we're going to cover some things today and on this thing here. And now, people, I remember growing up, people wasn't not too bad. This ain't a real crazy magazine, but things are getting crazier and crazier today. And as I look through it here, if you know, I'm not telling you guys to do too, but it's just strictly a bunch of egocentric, narcissists, fleshly, queer, immorality, and lovers of self. That's just what kind of people. Now, I have no idea who people are. I don't follow them. You probably, hopefully don't either, you know. But it just completely, I mean, some pictures here, I can't even show you. No one, I mean, it's just like almost pornography. Back in the day, and, you know, look at the old, I find some old Life magazines, you know. If someone had a bathing suit on, they're like, oh, now they're showing way more than that. You know, flesh, earrings, tattoos. You know, you look at somebody like a share, and you say, well, here's what the world's doing. You know for sure what not to do, right? Yeah, I mean, you know what not to do. Just really heinous things. One of the best things I found in here was a picture of his dog, my old dog. The best thing in the magazine here. I had a dog named Shadow. The only good thing I found in the magazine was like my old dog. So that was kind of the thing I looked at here. But a couple of things I want to point out here is they have this big news. It's all show. These guys getting slapped and on the show. Here's Denzel Washington. I hear he's a believer, supposedly. But here he is. After what happened to Will Smith and all that baloney, he says, with Denzel Washington said, he warned him that this is your highest moment. Be careful that the devil doesn't come against you. Getting an Oscar is your highest moment in life. If that's your highest moment in life, man, we got trouble. And then they're using the F word. I mean, hey, no offense, but like, I think that's truck driving type mentality. If you're a professional, don't use any sort of F words and all that, you know, garments. I mean, men's stylish. They got people, guys with tuxedos wearing shorts. Well, I know. I got my point. I'm agreeing with that, you know. A lot of queers. Oh, here, interesting here. Behind the scenes. Here's interesting. This is some articles. This is show you how relative this is. This is a guy, I don't know who he is, rock star. Rock star's shocking death. I don't know, follow this guy. He's from Foo Fighters, 50 years old. So I read the thing, and something like, oh, he's a nice guy, supposedly. You know, well, I just went online, did a little research, and, well, guess what? This Foo Fighter drummer, Taylor Hawk, had 10 substances in his system before he died. Died of drugs. I mean, well, are you Marvel? I mean, why Marvel? I mean, here it is. Amid the investigations of Taylor Hawkins' death, Columbia authorities found that the late Foo Fighter drummer had 10 drugs in his system. Foo Fighters drum died at 50. They're honoring his legacy. What? Because he's a drummer? Hey, drumming comes from Africa, right? Amen, you know? As per a statement in the county jail nation, this is where he died. A preliminary toxicity test revealed that the presence of different substances. The report found that Hawkins allegedly had marijuana, tricyclic antidepressants, benzodiazepine, opioids in the system. His heart was 3 times the size, apparently. Well, I wonder why he ain't living, you know? The band wrote on Twitter, oh, he had a wife and 3 kids. Hey, instead of being, you got kids? When you have kids and wife, your responsibility, amen? I mean, imagine, hey, I'm out there country doing drugs, and it's, you know, our heart squawk to his wife and children. I agree. And it asks for his privacy. It says here that some of the world's most famous musicians pay tribute to the drummer who decided to pick up their sticks after And it says he got into drumming after his mother took him to a Queen concert in 1982. So his mother, hey, instead of mother showing him the word of God, bring him to a Queen concert. Now, not too many young here, but remember me and Willie worked for the Aragon Ballroom. Remember, brother Mike? My friend's father worked for the Aragon Ballroom, owned it actually. And I can't hear today that well because I've been to so many rock concerts. I worked there selling hot dogs and beer before I was saved. And this band, Queen, so I have history behind here. When they were at the Aragon, I gotta be real careful to say this, they wanted fresh carpeting in the backstage so they can have immorality before the concert. That's what they said. And even Mr. Renner goes, I'm not doing that. Disgusting. And that immorality is not, but that's what goes, that's this group here, man. That's just Queen. People don't realize that behind there, you know, it's terrible. No, I cannot be the Queen guitarist, Brian May, or Instagram, heartbroken Taylor, with you, our friend, our brother, our beloved child, bless you. We'll miss you. Here's Mick Jagger. Look at the birds of a feather stick together. So incredible we're to hear you. We're by your side. Ozzy Osbourne. You know who he is, right? Black Sabbath. Listen to what Ozzy Osbourne said. He called the Hawkins family, who was survived by his wife, Allison, and three children. I truly great person, amazing mission. My heart, my love, my condolences go out to your wife and children, his family. And the band, see you on the other side. Ain't that something? He knows there's something going on there. Hey, what do you think he's going to be? First of all, I know where he's going if he ain't saved. Amen? We all know, right? He's probably going to see him. Because you might, it's a place of outer darkness. See you on the other side. How about that? They know all about that, don't you? This was right out of the paper, you know, here. Foo Fighters. They have a spirit. His music, you know what kind of spirit it is? This is just kind of showing you what they promote here in this magazine. You know, when I grew up, I watched these shows, I don't know, Twilight Zone. Remember Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, all that? And that's garbage, by the way. And I remember this one show that they had a kind of a hippie type guy in the 70s going down an elevator, and he gets out of this elevator, and there's two older couple, and they have these slides and old movies showing them their vacation. And he couldn't stand it because here's a hippie guy out of his place, and there's just two old people, and they go, we got 80,000 slides to go through, and then we have their box. Well, the thing was, he went down into hell. You see, and his hell was watching these people play this their family videos, which is against, you know, imagine that? That's exactly what I think about this Oscar and awards. The last thing I want to be, we want to watch the Oscars or Emmy, anything like that. That's the worst. Here's my list of things to do. I could care less about some guys, both about themselves, modestly dress both on each other. That's the worst thing would be for me in the low bottom. That's just me. I don't want to be for you, but that'd be that movie, that little Twilight Zone. At the end, he finds out, oh, he's in hell. And the rest of his turn, he has to watch these people playing movies, a family vacation, and slides and everything. Because that, for him, that's the worst thing. That's seeing this stuff, it's disgusting. But it comes down to my message a little bit. That's why I brought it up today. Lovers a pleasure more than lovers of self. One of our things to talk about today. Well, anyways, let's continue on here. And I'll try to finish up today if I can. We left off here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, about characteristics of the last days. Remember, last days before the rapture. It applies to us. And we can see this all around us. One thing about the scripture, without a doubt, it is relevant. Amen? It is alive. On my wife's car plate, I have 1 Peter 1:2-3, being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's our birth, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. It lives. What lives? The Bible lives and abides forever. You know, it's alive. If it's a dead book, you can't do anything from it. It's alive. This book is alive. It's a liveth and abideth forever. And if it's alive, that means it's breathing, it's communicating, you know, spiritually with us today. We see these things happening today. And so we left off here 4, and 3 Timothy, where it says, where we're at here, truce breakers, incontinence, aspirers are those are good. Traitors, last time we covered that, heady. Now, this is an interesting word, because why? This is the only time this word appears in Scripture. This word here, and it means rash, hasty, violent, disposed, rush towards making a quick decision without deliberation, moved by passion, you know, more than truth. I kind of think of some of the charismatics. You know, for them, it's emotion, pretty much, you know, before fact, faith, feeling. It's emotion and feelings first. You know, it's, what do I feel? The Lord, you know, a lot going on today. And the best example of this, obviously, most cases, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26, 3-4, it says, after the Lord preached in 25, and he was talking about the kingdom, if you look at the context, he was preaching on the kingdom of heaven. Here he was, obviously, kingdom of heaven was obviously for Israel on earth, came to his first, he came to be received, and of course, the religious folks rejected him. And when he knew who was not to enter kingdom, those religious people knew that it wasn't him. They assembled together the chief priests and scribes and the elders of the people unto the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. So here he came, and speaking truth, doing miracles, and what are religious people going to do? Kill him. Like in us, as we get worse and are closer and closer to this rapture church, if you take a true stand for the word, you know, they don't like what you're doing. Even the religious people, you know, the religious people. In John 15:3, then from that day forth, they had a council together for to put him to death. And so they're making a quick, rash, heady decision about Lord Jesus Christ. And this context here was after he raised Lazarus from the dead. You would think a true miracle just took place. You think, man, I mean, some people believe it says, right? Some people believe, but their guys, let's get this guy. See, just emotion, haste. They couldn't stand it because why? They saw their kingdom, their personal kingdom, slipping away. Yeah, be careful of that thing, you know. It says, from them forth to counsel together, put him to death. And even as you go to like Ephesus and look at Acts, this is Paul. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. If you have your Bible here, I hope you do. Acts chapter 19. The same things are happening here with Paul, with the Lord, with Paul, happening with us today. So you can see that we're having this happen in Acts 19:23. Says, on the same time, there rose a no small stir about that way, and that way was for certain men named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. There's some money being made here, like liquor business. I preached at PGM last time, went through the facts of liquor business. Disastrous. Complete disaster, but there's money in there. Don't say anything about it, you know. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation. So they're getting together here. Okay, and said, sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised. Is that tying money and religion? Notice that? You know, see, get that, right? They're always tying that religion with some kind of resources there. You know, putting religious trip on things here, you know. And her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Hey, love not the world, neither things in the world, right? It's worldly. You know, that was as highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. There's no context there. That's just thrown out there. Look at that verse. I mean, if you're highly esteemed, you're probably an abomination in the sight of God. I mean, and when they heard these saying, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of Ephesus, and the whole city was filled with confusion. Here we go with this heady mind, a real quick decision, right. That's just happening in Paul's day. It says in verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and another, some another, for the assembly was confused. God, we know that God is not the author of confusion, so we know who's drumming all this up. And the more part knew not whenceforth they were come together. And here it says in verse 40, when they get ready to have a big tumult, for we are in danger of being called into question for this day's uproar. Quite kind of a rugged thing going on here where they're really uproaring things, and there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. So they're obviously trying to have uproar. Now, we have riots going on, amen? And what's happening now today is the government's promoting some of these riots. I mean, the unjust ones, the BLM movement, right? They're, instead of bringing them down together, they're promoting them, complete opposite, emotion. I was born in the 60s, and I don't remember too much in the 60s, you know, when you're a little kid, but I remember in 1968, we had the Chicago riots. I live in the suburbs. I think maybe they had Martin Luther King was executed or, you know, assassinated around that time. And of course, people rose up in Chicago, and we had a mayor Daley. He was a liberal. Some of the mayors back then, the Democrats, they're like the Republicans today. I mean, the pendulum is so worn so much. Like, they were pretty conservative. But now the Republicans are like that. The kind of people don't know that the swinging liberal, you know. And I think they had about 2-3 days of all this ruckus going on. And Mayor Daley goes, "Hey, get on the phone. Listen to me, folks. Here's a story. This is stopping today. If you're out past 10, you'll be shot. Hey, just hey, we're going to shoot you. Guess what? It stopped. Didn't happen in Michigan. They have them go on and on. Right, the city there. Hey, we're enough of this." You out, you're going to be shot. No questions asked. You know what? It stopped the riots. Look at the, I mean, hey, enough of this. There's a bunch of baloney going on here, you know? So, you know, but they're all emotion, you know, heady. Very, 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 very heinous. Very, very bad deal going on there today, you know? Anyway, so that's, be careful of that. You'll see that happening. You see it in the news. You see it out in the public. There's people reacting quickly. And believers don't get involved with that, you know. It's fact, it's faith, and emotion. Don't get too involved. You know, you lose your testimony there, you know. Now, look at the next one here. We have high-minded. High-minded appears a couple times in the scripture. It's proud people, arrogant, honorable pride. Let's go to Romans 11:20. Interesting here to look how the Lord uses here and see what kind of happened to Israel and how it's kind of happening to us. Romans 11:21 says, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Now the context here is Israel. Okay. Remember, God came to Israel first, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, that's Israel, right? Take heed lest he also spare not thee. This is the talking about the temporal casting away of Israel. Because you know what? They kind of got, you know, high-minded about things. Hey, we're God's chosen people. We're God's chosen nation. And what though? They were, amen. But they kind of got high-minded about it. You know what though? And they got so high-minded about it, they tried to bring in their own religious ways. And when the king showed up, they were so high-minded and pride, they couldn't recognize the king right in front of them. And a lot of Christians today, they're saved people, and God again cast us away because we're eternal security. But we get that same thing. Look, and we're getting out of a little box some way, a little thing that's off a side chute, and God's kind of giving the church here a little warning about that. Let's hear it says, 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. This is a warning to believers not to be high-minded if you have some resources. I mean, we have America. What happens to a lot of countries is, I was talking to Brother Perry, when he got into the Ukraine, he didn't even speak the language. He had no wife, had no support, and someone recorded him a gospel witness in Russian or Ukrainian, and he's putting people's heads, and because they just... the walls came down and they're open. People got saved by listening to a little cassette player of the gospel. And he built a big church. But as prosperity started getting in some of that Russian area there, hey, what we got here, all this money coming. They kind of, so what happens? We don't need that anymore. That's a high-minded of riches can do that, And that's why it says it is harder for a camel to go to an eye of a needle than a rich man in heaven. Because why? They're high-minded. Well, believers, this context is believers. Believers, too, they can look at those uncertain riches and then not be really serving the Lord. So God gives you a warning what happened to Israel. They're temporary casting away. And then believers, too, this is being not high-minded. So the Lord, without a doubt, gives you some truth there. What the key thing is to be humble. It's the key thing. Always try to be humility. Having some humility, and whatever thing happens, the Lord gives you a little bit. Be humble about it, and let the Lord deal with some of these things here. Heady, high minded. Those are character traits that not only the world has, but the believers have as well. Okay. And next one here is number 18. Kind of why I read that People's Magazine here says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's going on today. Now here, notice this here. It doesn't say you cannot love pleasure. It doesn't say that. It says, just don't put it before God. Now I'll show you what the Bible says here. People think, I can't do anything here because I'm a Christian. And now they have this fear, the wrong fear. There's a lot of things that God gives us that are pleasurable and can be enjoyed. Music and nature walks, travel, hugging your kids or hugging your wife, playing some sports, fishing, hunting, all that, as long as it doesn't become a God. Hey, when I got saved, I had my rock music and I had classical music. You know what's interesting is I destroyed all my rock music. I kept classical stuff. Very fine. I know, this stuff is heinous. I know that, but I still had Vivaldi, The Four Seasons, and Bach, and John Williams played the guitar. That was just suit. That was things of the Lord. And I got rid of all the rock stuff. But you know what, though? I still like music, but I don't put that before God. Now, very interesting here. It says here that for every creature of God is good, is 1 Timothy 4:4, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And if you look at the context of that, talking about marriage and food. Look at that. In later days, some shall part the faith, giving heed to losing spirits, forbidding to marry. Food's right. So God, the context is marriage. Nothing wrong with marriage. Nothing wrong with food. Just don't be thankful for that. Got a good wife? Be thankful for that. You enjoy food? Enjoy it. My dad died at 88. He lost his wife, lost his vision, couldn't walk that well, couldn't hear that well, had dementia, but he still liked to eat. The last thing the Lord did is he still enjoyed the tasting of food. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Sometimes, it's nice to have some nice, tasty food. He still enjoyed that there. Interesting there, in John 21:9, when the Lord came back and appeared to Peter that went fishing with his buddies, what happened? He had barbecued some fish and bread. Amen? So see how you're still enjoying some of that? And we're going to have a wedding feast of the Lamb one day, right? So we're still be able to enjoy the food with all that bacteria and waste. I don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to be nice. I told the Lord I wanted my own home run in pizza oven in my mansion. You know why? So people come over, I get a bun, out comes extra large pizza, I eat the whole thing and have at it. I don't know if that's true, but I'm just telling you, I like to have that, Lord. Right, come on by, fellowship, boom, out drops an extra large one, enjoy. That's just something I'm just, maybe the Lord's saying, how about that? That's something that if the Lord allow, I like to have. Come on by, well, fellowship, amen? Enjoy some food, okay? Now, let's hear. The first mention of this word pleasure. If you look at the definition of how there's a fine line where it can cross between where it's good and where it becomes evil, where it becomes an idol. In Genesis 8:12, it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself And this is obviously when the Lord visited her and said, "Hey, you're going to have a son with your Abraham. Am I after I am wax old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" So it's a pleasurable thing to have a spouse and a child. That's some of the blessings you have, is having kids. Amen. What a blessing it is. You know, as regarding her son with Abraham, there can be pleasure in things that the Lord will allow. Psalm 103:21 says, "Blessed be the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." Now, obviously, you have pleasurable things here that you can do in life. And then by pleasing the Lord, he'll be pleasurable to him. So you got to make sure you don't love pleasure more than God. Now, in Ezra, Israel was mixing strange wives. In Ezra 10:11, it says, "And Ezra, the priest, stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives." And what happened then, Israel was mixing wives from that were not Hebrews. Hebrew, you know, so they're mixing them. I mean, they conquer a city and, you know, sometimes they kill the men or take them as slaves, and there's some wives, and hey, a pretty good girl, I'll marry you. And took them as wives to increase the trespass. God was against that. Now, therefore, as you're saying, make confession unto the Lord, your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of God. So here's a case where, hey, nothing wrong with having a wife and children, but not with the wrong people. You see that? See how close that is? You know, be not equally unbelievers. So I'm marrying that person. No. God says this is okay to do it in the context where God says that. So what happened here is, from strange wives, these folks are putting their pleasure before the Lord's. This is a good example here in Scripture. And resulted into what? It's like God wanted segregation. That's what he wanted here. Segregation and forced divorce. Now, I'm not for divorce, but Bible allowed it here. They're under law now, so we're under grace. And they made an end of all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. This is under the law, not endorsing. They had children too here, because some laws they didn't have children. God says, hey, we're done with this. You know, if you're married an unsaved person, you know, people, you bear with it, you deal with it, you know. But the example is, God doesn't want something that's pleasurable and good crossing his line. Now, I probably can name 4 or 5 people I know, saved people, and they married Catholic people. Now, you know, I'm not against, you know, the people, but, you know, all they're Catholic. I gotta tell you, all 5 I know, none of them worked out. I mean, they're still married, some are, but they're having troubles. You see, like, oh, they're Christians. Well, they're Catholic. And they kind of just like, you know, oh, you know, I just kind of cross the line. I want to get married. They're good looking, provide or whatever. And they cross the line here. And if you do that in ignorance, you're a young believer, maybe the Lord might give you some grace. But knowing that, not a good deal. That's why God gave the example here. Hey, Israel, be pure nation. And he drew a line. And something that's pleasurable to you is not out of the context of God's will. You know, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Sometimes it's 4 line. Yes, sir, brother Paul. No. Yep. And then think what you said with the sample here. Oh, he's doing it. And then, you know, sin can be contagious. Well, if brother, what happened? Brother Paul sleeping in, then you know what? Then, you know, so-and-so sleeping in, Mike sleeping in. And see, kind of, sin can be contagious, right? And you're easy to rationalize it. Like, I'm sure somebody took on the first non-Israel, non-Jewish wife. And hey, look at him. Well, he did it. See how that, you know, hey, go to a church, they're blasting rock music on here. Oh, they're all doing it. It must be, see, anything like that. Oh, dude doing this here, all it's a principle of that's a contagious. Sin is contagious. And so, without a doubt. And it says here in Job 23:3, is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous, or is to gain to him that we mayest the ways perfect? So we have to look through the Scripture and see what pleases God, whether it makes sense to us. It says here that, bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. You want to make sure that you know the word of God, so what pleases him, so we do it and God is happy. Psalm 147:11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. How you fear him? Through the word of God. Knowing the word of God, you fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. You know, so there you have kind of a double application. You can have worldly pleasures that God does not mind, and then the pleasures of pleasing the Lord. You can have both. You know, you can actually have both. You know, things that you are enjoyable that God gave you to enjoy, as long as they're done right, and then you're pleasing the Lord. So, and I think Revelation 4:11 is a good verse, kind of a theme of your life. It says here in Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou have created all things, and for thy pleasure," see, "thy pleasure they are and were created." So, you know what we have to do? Bottom line is, that's a kind of a verse to know. Whatever you're doing, make sure God is happy. God, if God is happy with it, brings a pleasure, you know it's good. And that's why, you know, once you cross something that actually is good, and it trumps God, you know, it can be sin. It's a fine line there, real fine line there. All right, I got a few more minutes here. I'll also introduce my last one, and I'll get to it next time I go. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's the last one. It's number 19 in this list of five verses. There's 19 of these. And the closing of this verse, it says, from such turn away. So all those things, I mean, you can see that turn away from all those things. That's what God wants us to do. That's that separation. Many times, salvation is easy. A 5-7-year-old kid can probably understand salvation. What's hard about salvation? God did not make it difficult, did he? Right? Hey, sinner meets Savior. I mean, am I right? Hey, you're a sinner. Hey, you're going to die. There's a judgment. How in the world am I getting past that judgment? Jesus Christ is the answer. It's that simple. A kid can get it. But you know what the Bible is really about? It's knowing him and sanctification, right? I think Pastor Kirby, this is about sanctification. Salvation is easy. It's a separation of things. That's why a lot of some of these Baptist people, fundamentalists I call them, I'm Baptist, you know what I mean? They go, oh, you're not doing this. Pick a thing out. So you're probably not saved. Ever heard that? They're confusing salvation with separation. Get that? If whatever, name whatever it is, oh, tithing, going to church, dressing right, whatever it is, you may not be saved. I heard the other day, I'm like, wait a minute. Well, when you get saved, they're like, well, believe on the Lord and do this. They're confusing, such a fine line. They're confusing what God did to what we do once we've been born again. I mean, that's a real important thing, because if you did, then you think, well, I'm going to do this, and then either I'm better with God or I got saved. It's a dangerous thing. You do because you want to please God, give him pleasure. It's a willing thing. And so all these things, you could go through the list, and if you're willing to believe God and trust him, make him happy, you can read a bunch of words on the pages. That's why, you know, it says having a form of godliness, you can be like, oh, I got it. That's why a lot of kids kind of bail a lot of times. They're there because they fear their parents. They have a form of godliness. They old enough, boom. They saw it, but they in their heart of hearts, you know what though? Once I get older, I'm out of here. And that happens, unfortunately. That's why it's a personal matter to be able to make sure you get these things and then do them truly to please the Lord. And do it joyfully. If it's do it unjoyfully, you happen to stay watching you. Are doing that, but let the Lord know, and he'll give you grace and mercy and pleasure to deal with them. Amen. So we're going to close here. I'll kind of recap. Maybe next time I can speak to kind of bring this whole thing to a close. But these are all conditions in today in the last church. These are the attributes you find, characteristics, condition, atmosphere that are going around you like in this magazine. It's garbage, Marianne said. It's just no good. Even in something that simple you find in the bookshelves. Okay. Any other questions or comments or anything before I close in a word of prayer? Yes, sir. Amen. You see, Mickey, if you look under a light, it's wicked. Put Mickey out there and you put it like, you know, look at the inverted word, it's wicked. Mickey. I mean, and then you look at Mickey, there's 666 in there. And Walt Disney, 666, they had him right in there. So now the devil always marks his stuff. Amen. He's marking it. And if you look and you go, ha. And why the Lord, I think the Lord allows the devil to do that. Why? So if you're watching, we can see it, right? Because he said, you can do that. Hey, God allows it, but mark your stuff like a dog marking his stuff. You know what I mean? And so they mark their stuff. I'm serious. You know why? So you can watch it. You can see it. Mark, little mark there. Yes, comment, Brother Mike. That's a great point. And think of this here. Just like our age ending bad, our age ends bad, our disposition, here God's reigning on earth for 1,000 years. And a third, follow him, a third. So you imagine people that are living in the millennial reign, having all this, but see, in their heart, see what I'm saying? Out comes Satan, and they follow him. How can that be, right? Think about that, man, millennial reign, we're flying around, supernatural things right there, God's in Israel reigning, and there's still a bunch of people rebellious. That's just an amazing thing. Would you agree? How can that be? We'll find out. We'll be there. Amen. Okay. Father in heaven, thank you for an opportunity to open up your word and just look at a few things, Lord, that are so prevalent today. And what that means, it can't be much longer now before we hear that trumpet. Hey, come up hither. Oh man, that's going to be a great day, man. Bible says there's a reward of those that look forward to his coming. Get that one at least, folks. Amen. So thank you that you allow us these things. I pray you put them in our hearts so we can live the best way we can for thee and give thy pleasure. Thank you for Brother Hoffman coming here. And I pray we prepare our hearts for opening up the word of God and seeing what he has there. So I pray you give him extra measure of grace and mercy and power. That be able to minister us this morning through not only the song, but through the preaching, Father. We like the preaching, Father. Preaching's good to have. You do work through preaching, Father. So thank you again. And we ask these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.